Right, Matthew's Gospel 28, verse 18. Jesus came and spoke unto them, saying, all power is given to me in heaven and in the earth. Then verse 19, go ye therefore and teach all nations. Is that what's there? Teaching them to observe whatsoever things I've commanded you. And lo, I am with you always to the end of the world. And I've taught this before. I told you that verse 18 is a summative writing. What do I mean by summative writing? It means that's not what he said. It means he said some things and then it's now summarized to all power is given to me in heaven and earth. We're going to look at that very much tomorrow morning. You know, recently the vice president declared that he's going to run for presidency, yeah? You know, so prophet comes to me and says, I saw Osinbajo on TV. What was he saying? I say, he declared for presidency. Right? Was that right? But, you know, that's not what he said. He did not declare for presidency. Right? He did not just come and say, I'm declaring for presidency. No? Or I'm declaring that I'm going to run for presidency 2023. That's not what he said. He came and he was talking about he went to factories, how he's friends with Tex. Does that make sense? So, again, when you see a summative writing like that, he has said a lot of things. He has said a lot of things, but he now put everything into one. All power is given to me in heaven and earth. Does that make sense? So that's like the sermon. That's like a sermon title. All power is given to me in heaven and in the earth. We'll look at that much more tomorrow morning. But look at verse 19. He says, so therefore, go ye and teach all nations. Now, verse 19 is part of the content of verse 18. Verse 18 would mean, all power is given to me in heaven and earth. Now, because of all that power, you go and make disciples. That's the word to teach. All nations. Go and teach all nations. Now, look, that word nations is the word ethnos. E-T-H-N-O-S. Ethnos. All kinds of people. He's not talking about Canada and talking about Malaysia and Guinea Republic or Guinea-Bissau. Who are those that beat Nigeria out that time? Tunisia. That's not what he's talking about. When you see all nations, someone came to me and said, the Bible says, go and teach all nations. I've chosen my own. I said, what did you choose? He said, Canada. Why didn't you choose Somalia? Or Ukraine? You looked for somewhere and you chose Canada. I like you. Amen. So when you say all nations, it means all kinds of people. That means he's saying you are going to teach or you are going to make disciples of both the educated and the uneducated. Some people, they say, I prefer, God has sent me to the marketplace, whatever that means. I'm an apostle to the marketplace. There's nobody that's an apostle to the marketplace. He says, go into the world and preach. He just wants to look for people that will give you tithe. And there's silence in the sanctuary. Amen. There's no apostle that is sent to students. You can have specific leading to a group of people, but you cannot say that's what God called you to do. He called you to all nations. Amen. And that, what that means is that the gospel you are going to teach those who are educated. I was teaching at, what was I teaching last week? Yeah, at Lut. Yeah. They had, forgotten the name of this. Oh. Yeah, okay. The joint fellowship. Yeah. The joint campus fellowship. Yeah. And I said, the gospel you are going to teach a medical doctor, since that's a medical school, is the same thing you are going to teach someone who did not go to school. You are not going to say, because a medical doctor, Christ will make you promoted. Now that's fine. But Christ is not in charge of promotion. Right? You know that already, right? You don't know? Okay. You will school discover. You know, there was someone like that one time, and he works in a company, and he was saying, God should lift him up in that company. And guess the owner of the company is a Muslim. And I said, you don't need God to lift you up. The owner already is a Muslim. Just ask him. So I said, but it's God that will touch his heart. Forget that. Amen. So I said, what kind of place is this? Alright. So, all nations, all kinds of people, every man in every place, you are to teach the wealthy and the poor the same thing. You're not going to say because a man is rich, his own gospel is different. No. The rich and the poor have the same gospel. Say the same gospel. So it says, go ye therefore and teach all nations. It didn't say, when you see someone who doesn't have money, teach him something different. No. Share the same gospel. There's just what? One gospel. The moment you are partisan, the moment you start teaching, say Bro Faith is a pilot and Bro Well is a butcher. Butcher are those who meet, yeah? You know what I'm saying? No, it's not a butcher. And it's not a pilot. Alright. So, yeah, to the butcher, you are now preaching, oh, God will give you money. I see it in your eyes. What are you seeing? Not the spirit. Poverty. Alright. In fact, Jesus said, come to me all ye that labor. Now that's already a misapplication. And every lady, and I will give you rest. He's giving you rest. Then he goes to the rich man. And you're not preaching rest. He can enlarge your coast. You're already a false preacher. Every man needs what? Salvation. The content of the gospel doesn't change. Doesn't change. So go and teach all nations. The rich, the poor, male, female. God wants everyone. Make disciples of every nation. That word disciple, or that word teach there, is the word matituo. M-A-T-H-E-T-E-U-O. I'll come again. M-A-T-H-E-T-E-U-O. Go and teach all nations. That means everybody has a mandate. Everybody has a task to make disciples, to make people students of God's word. That means every day you wake up, your plan and your purpose in life is to make people learn God's word. Don't say, but I cannot talk. That's a lie. You just talk. Amen? So, you go make people students of God's work. In the absence of doing this, you are not doing God's work. I've always told people in a local church, no matter how much you sweep the church and clean the chairs and do everything, the primary way we work for God is to preach. And forget that bullshit of, if you cannot go, let your money go. I want to believe that that phrase is not godly. What the Bible teaches is that you will go and your money will go. Say, I will go and my money too will go. Why is that money on low? So I will go. And my money too will go. That money will still low. You don't want your money. Ah. Say, I will go for the gospel. And my money too will go for the gospel. That's more like it. Amen. There's nothing like you cannot go. Let your money go. You say that so that the rich man can now say, oh, my money can go. Okay. That's nice. Can the church can have 140 million pounds. Something like that. Like Lukaku's money, something like that. Very useless player. Alright, so, you go and your money will go, amen? Alright, so, again, that's how to do God's work. Go and teach all nations. That means you will go, and all your resources will go into it. What are you going to teach them? Verse 20. Teaching them to observe all the things I have taught you. That's the word commanded. All the things I have taught you. Entelomai. E-N-T-E-L-L-O-M-A-I. E-N-T-E-L-L-O-M-A-I. Entelomai. The things I have commanded you. The things I have taught you. Go and teach what I have taught you. And lo, I am with you always. Again, we'll see, look at this much more tomorrow. Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Now, let's look at, you know, we have Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, right? As the four accounts of the gospel. So let's look at two others that wrote about this same thing. Because the beautiful thing is, he said, lo, I am with you always, and then he left them. And that's the most amazing part of this text. He says, I am with you always. Then he left. You know, that sounds like Yoruba people. They are leaving your house and they say, mi o fin yin le o. I don't even know what I'm talking about. Okay, if you are not Yoruba. I think Igbo too has it. Yeah? Did they? You guys have it? Usa here. You have it in the Usa language. French, English. You know, but I know Yoruba people. You go, I'm leaving your house and I say, in English, actually what I'm saying is, I'm not leaving you. And I'm good. And that's exactly what Jesus did. Jesus is Yoruba. No, I'm kidding. He's not. Amen. All right, so he says, lo, I am with you always. Now look at Luke 24. Turn your Bibles to Luke 24. Nobody's going to display Bible on screen for you, so don't expect it.
Verse 47, the repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all the nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And you are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry you in the city of Jerusalem till you be endued with power from on high. And he led them out as far as Bethany. And he lifted up his hands and he blessed them. And it came to pass that while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. And he worshipped them and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. So they were not surprised. In Mark 16, so as he finished teaching them, because that account we are reading now is when Jesus taught them for 40 days. We see all of that tomorrow. In Mark 16, the same account, verse 14, afterward he appeared to the 11 and he sat at meat. He upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not on him that seen him after he was risen. Verse 15, and he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes and is baptized is saved. He that believes not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow those that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay their hands on the sick, and they the sick shall recover. So then after the Lord had spoken to them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. And he went forth preaching everywhere, the Lord walking with them, that is, I will be with you always, and confirming the word with signs following. Amen. So, he says, I'm with you, and then he leaves. So the question is, I am with you? If you say I'm with you, and then you leave, then where are you? Now, this is a basic fact of Christianity, or of the Christian faith. The moment you don't realize how he is with us, you will seek him in other things. The moment you don't realize how he is with us always, you will seek him in other things. And that's why some people they've sought for Christ in candles. Because they feel he must be somewhere. I know he answers prayers. I know he does wonders. So where is he? In candles? In a bottle of oil? I used to say so. When I was much younger, you know, oil, they'll use oil on your head. So where is he exactly? And you know, till today, there are still Christians who believe that when you take granite oil, whatever, olive oil, whatever it's called, that the Holy Ghost is there somehow. If a son told me, he said, if I'm truly charismatic, then I should believe it. I said, that's not what it means to be charismatic. To be charismatic means you know that he is in you. He's not in the bottle of oil. So I asked the question one time. I said, if he's in the oil, at what point did he get inside? Is he in the factory? He said, no, cannot be in the factory. And the factory is just a natural place. I said, thank God you know that. At least your charismatism did not get to that one. Is he in the retail shop? Mamadora's shop. As they are labeling Holy Ghost, 120. This Holy Ghost costs 120. This one is a bigger Holy Ghost. It costs 280. I know a lot of people feel offended. Say, why would you talk against anointing? It's not, it's go Yahweh. There's a brand to it. He's not there. Which of his disciples used oil? Nobody. Not one. Which of his disciples told us that he's in the candle? Wherever we got candles from, I don't know. Probably from Revelation. Someone said, thank you for buttressing the point. We didn't even know where we got candle from before. So where do you think he is? In clothes? On mountains? Are you okay? Or in bread? In fact, someone did an Insta ad. And he said, like Agege bread, he's risen. And Khan came forward and Khan said, that's blasphemous. Amen. But is that not what we do in church? We serve bread and we say it's the body of Christ. So now an unbeliever comes and uses the same analogy and he says it's blasphemous. So which one should I believe? You put it in tray and you play keyboard. Oh, precious is the flow. Is it because they don't put the music in their own? I just want to know. Because we serve the same thing and we say it's the body of Christ. And then someone else comes who is a non-believer and says, like agege bread is risen. Is it because it's agege? Okay, like bread is risen. Is he in bread?
That's the question. No.
But he said, I am the bread of life.
So which one is that one? Bread of life. There's this bread we used to buy when I was a student in Lut. Old country. Those of you that went to Lut. Is that the old country? They are gone. I don't want to say what I want to say. They took my money to the point, you know, that sometimes that your money will affect your appetite. I used to like it. So every Sunday after service, I would go buy old country. You know what I mean? I buy old country. Fresh. It used to be hot. They also increased the money from 150. 200. Now 200 was some money. 200 is like buying bread for 500. 200 and later 250, 300. I said this bread is not that special. Amen. You know, so if it's in the bread or if it's the bread of life, which of the brands? Because we need to understand. If it's not in the oil, if it's not in the candles, if it's not in clothes, if it's not on mountain, if it's not in bread, if it's not in water, it's not there. It will never be. Where did he say it will be? John chapter 14. Again, we'll be looking at the topic this year, Emmanuel. Amen. God with us. Emmanuel, God with us. So from tomorrow, tonight, tomorrow, Saturday, Sunday, looking at Emmanuel. Hallelujah. John 14. And let me give you a disclaimer I give in almost all of our meetings. Sometimes you hear things for the first time. It doesn't make them a lie. It just means you are hearing it for the first time. Part of learning means that you will unlearn some things. Part of learning means you will relearn some things. Nobody knew it from birth. There will always be a first time you will hear something. So don't let that bring unbelief. You fact check. That makes sense? As long as in the word, I believe. Amen. Amen. I see it in the word, I believe it. That's it. That's for me. I see it in the word, I believe it. So John 14 verse 1. Jesus looked at the disciples and he said, don't be anxious. Fear. Do not fear. You believe in God. Believe in me also. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And if this is your narrative of that, there's one mansion for you in heaven. I recall when I was younger, there was this particular sister that was holy. She was so holy that she was the standard of heaven for us. And so she came around one time and she said she had a vision that she went to heaven and her house in heaven does not have roof. And at the kitchen, the water is leaking, something like that. So I looked at my friends. I said, Ebenezer, if this sister does not have roof, hope they are bus stops for us. We don't even care at this point. We just want to be there. Bus stop, market place, on that bridge. Just put us somewhere in heaven. And a lot of people have thought that as you are serving God on the earth, you are building one house. May God give you brains. Because it takes something else for you to think that. We will see it too. I go to prepare a place for you. We will not use Greek word. That where I am, there you will be. And that place is not heaven. It just says, where I am, there you will be. Did you see anything called heaven here? Eh? It's just a question. He just said, where I am, there you will be. Let's not assume that it's heaven. Okay. He says, where I am going, you know, and the way you know. Verse 5. Thomas, of course, I'm not expecting another person to say this. Thomas says, we don't know anywhere that you are going. And how can we know the way? Verse 6. Jesus said, I am the way. So I am the way to the place where both of us will be together. I am the truth and the life. No man comes to the Father. So where is he going to? Eh? To the Father. Okay? If you had known me, you would have known my Father. So he's already telling them where he's going to. And from henceforth, you know him. And you have seen him. Then Philip took it from Thomas. He said, Lord, show us the Father. That will be enough. Since you are pushing everything to the Father. Jesus said unto him, have you been so long time with you? Okay, I have been with so long time with you, Philip. And yet you don't know me, Philip. He that has seen me has seen the Father. How can you now say, show us the Father? Beloved, believe thou not that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. So he says, I'm going to the Father, to prepare a place for you. That's why I said, would you believe in God? Believe in me. Because I'm going to the Father to prepare a place for you, so that we can be in the same place. Or observe. Don't you believe that I am in the Father, verse 10, and the Father is in me? The word I speak to you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwells in me dwells the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me. So when he says, where I am, there you will be also. Where is he? Eh? In the Father. So can you now say that? The assumption of heaven is something else. Except you now want to say the Father is in heaven, and you will be assumptions. Because the Father never told you that one. Amen. Okay, let's move on. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. Very, very, I say unto you, he that believes on me, the works I do, he shall do also, and greater works than this shall he do, because I go to where? So when he says, I'm going somewhere to prepare a place for you, that place will be where? In the Father. Okay. Whatsoever you shall ask in my name, verse 13, that will I do, and the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Can we read verse 17 to verse 20 together? Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it sees him not, neither knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and shall be where? I will not leave you comfortless. I will get a little while. The world sees me no more, but you see me, because I live, you shall live also. At that day you shall know that I am in the Father and you in me. So, where will we be together? And where will the Father be? So, where is the heaven? Okay? There's no heaven here. That's what I know. You will be in the Father and the Father will be in us. And that's why verse 18 says, I will not leave you comfortless. That word is the word orphanos. I will not leave you fatherless. I will come to you. So when it says, I go to prepare a place. Sorry. Is that going is coming to us. I go to prepare a place to, for you. And by going, I will come to you. So that going will be in his death. And the coming will be in his resurrection. I go to prepare a place for you. Yet a little while, the world will not see me because I go. But you know what? In that day, on that day, you will know. Because now I have achieved it. I've gone to the Father. At that day you will know, because I will be in you. Say in you. So, when it says, I am with you always, will it be in a bottle of oil? Answer my question. Will it be in water? Where will it be? Faith. I gave this analogy in church one time. I want to do it again. You already know the analogy if you attend the church. Alright? Come. I said, this is faith. This is a Chelsea fan. I should not be touching you. Go. Devil, come. Even though the devil has been shamed. Alright. Can you see a saint? If he's here, is he where I am? Because what would you understand? We think where I am, you will be also. We think it's about, like we are seated here. So you can tell someone, myself and Sister Moyo, we are together. Where I am is where she is. So, where I am, there you may be also, is a statement of union. Oneness. That is, when you are looking for me, just look for him. So if I say, where I am is where Pam is. That means, if you don't see me and you see Pam, you have seen me. It's a statement of union. Here like this, he is not in me. Or we are not in, where I am is not where he is. If you want to know, shoot him. Please do. Please don't. Is your wife watching? Say, please, pastor, don't. Alright. So, we are not in the same place. If it comes like this, where I am, there he is also. It might appear like that. We're almost of the same height.
Are we?
No. Almost. But if you shoot him still, he's still him. If I come like this and I bend, or he bends, we are seen on the same place. The only way I can be where he is that I will be in him. So when I am in him, wherever he goes is where I go. That means he embodies me. So when Jesus, go after say. So when Jesus said, where I am, there you will be also, he's saying, I'll be in you. And if you just took time to read it from verse 1 to verse 20, you know that it's not talking about, the moment we are all in different mansions, we are not where he is. You just get that. Eh? You don't get that. The moment you have your own mansion, whatever it is, and then all the Chelsea fans in the world, they have their own toilets. You can never have a house. They sleep under the bridge. And, you know, everybody has their own mansion. We are not where he is. The only way we are where he is that he dwells in us. So when he says, I am with you always, always is a statement of, I won't leave you. The bottle of oil is not with you always. The candle is not with you always. You have to go to the store to get it. But you see, this Christ, he is with you always. Right now, he is with you. When you leave this auditorium, he is with you. On Sunday, when we are wrapping up, he is with you. Guess what? On Wednesday, when there is no service, he is with you. Amen. He is with you always. So that is a statement of the resurrection. Say, he's in me. Come on, come on. Say, he's in me. So as you journey, as you sing, as you pray, as you serve him, as you make his name known, he is in you. You are not alone. So Matthew 28. Go and teach all nations. Verse 20, teaching them to observe whatsoever things I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always. And lo, I am with you always. So Jesus brought that God and man together. That is, man can now have God with him always. You know, that opposes what happened in Genesis. In Genesis, Adam disobeyed God. And he was sent out of the garden. We'll look at all of that as we journey. He was sent out from the presence of the Lord, which is Eden. Eden is the garden of his presence, the garden of his pleasure, the garden of his will. He was sent out. And from generation to generation, man wanted God to be with him. They built temples. They built tents. In fact, they had Ark of Covenant. They would carry it with some jealousy. At a point, Ark fell. God was not there. Moses knew what he was doing with them. And I'm going to show you so much that you will like Moses. Amen. You will look at Moses and you say, I love this man. Because he did it so well to pave the way for the indwelling. They built the temple. At the point, they destroyed the temple again. After Solomon built it, they destroyed it. Nehemiah came again and Ezra. They built it again. It was destroyed again. Then Jesus came. And John Epsos on the side said, and the word became flesh. What was the word? The word was God. Right? Verse 1. John 1:1. In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. Verse 14. That God became flesh. And he now tabernacles among us. The same word Moses used for the temple. He tabernacles among us. He dwells among us. So that wish of Genesis, that wish of the Old Testament, where you can have God and man in one place, divinity and humanity, Jesus fulfills it in his body. Then he tells you, I am with you. You believe that tonight? For me as a close. You know, we are just introducing today. Tomorrow morning we'll pick it up. Proper teaching. But I just want you to know that he is with you always. No, your backs are not against the wall. No, believers, we have believers today who are thinking that God is far from them because of this kind of world that we are in. You know, they are thinking, God is just a wheel. Where is God? What is he doing? What is he doing? And that's why one of our prayers in this meeting will be the Pauline prayers. That the eyes of understanding be open. That we may see. That we may know the hope of his calling, the riches of his glory, of his inheritance in the saints. The exceeding greatness of his power towards what we believe. According to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ, when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right in heavenly, far above all principalities and powers. And every dominion, every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. And has put him to be head over all things, giving him power over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all. And you as a wicked, who are once dead in your trespasses and your sins, who had your conversation among the children of disobedience, who are ruled by the prince of the power of the air,
The spirit that now walk among children of disobedience. But God, who is rich in mercy, wearing with the love where he loved us, he has saved us. That's our prayer in this meeting. That after these few days, I will walk with my chains up. And I know that God has never left me a second. As you pray, as you serve God, as you walk on in life, he's in you. He's in me. He didn't say that like a minute. He's in me. One of the tricks of the devil is always to make you feel alone. You feel like the world is on your shoulders and there's nothing else that matters. You feel like there's nothing that can happen. I'm alone. I will be with you always. And when God says always, it's always. I'll be with you always till the end of the world. In this coming few days, what we are going to look at, we are going to look at how is he with us. Before Jesus came, where was he? When he says he's in me, where is he exactly? Someone said, where is heaven? We are going to answer a lot of questions. It's going to be Bible study true and true. And we're also going to give room for the flow of the Spirit. Because he's with us. You believe that he's with us? So if he's with us always, that means he's here now. And we can switch. Because we are believers in Christ. We are children of God. So it's not difficult to just enter the supernatural. Amen. Can we just do that? Maybe. No, he's with me always. Amen. He's in me. I have the Holy Ghost. I am born of the Spirit of God. I am born of the Spirit of God. The eternal Father is my Father. Hey! Oh! I'm not fatherless. I'm not looking for help. I've got all the help I need. He's with me every time. He's with me every time. In the morning, in the evening. On Mondays and on Tuesdays, on Wednesdays and Thursdays, for the rest of my life. I'm not alone. The Spirit of God indwells me. And in the coming days, you know, he will open my eyes to see him more clearly. When you understand this, when you understand the indwelling, I make a boast to tell you that nothing will ever shake you again. Nothing will ever shake you again. When you understand that he's in you every time, there's nothing this world wants to offer that will call your name. This world is empty. It's poor. It's pale. That's nothing to offer. There's no comfort in the world. The true comfort is in knowing that he's in you. So if he's in me, what can I do? I actually can demonstrate the things of the Spirit. Because he's in me by the Holy Ghost. He said, I will send you the Spirit of truth, the Comforter, whom the world cannot receive. Because he sees him but not know him. But you know him. For he dwells with you. What shall be where? We read it in John 14. Look, go back there again. For he dwells with you. John chapter 14. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Verse 17. Can we read verse 16 and 17 together? And I'll pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. He is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it doesn't see nor know him, but you know him. For he dwells with you, but shall be where? Say in me. In me. There's an old song that I learned from years ago, about 2014, 2015. Yeah, play for me, God in man. Man who died for man, and he rose as a man. So we give grace to God in man who died for man. Can you just play? God in man who died for man.
And he rose up as a man.
So we give praise to God.
So we give praise to God, the man who died for man.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
He died and rose again.
He died.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
We are the new creation.
We are creation.
Hallelujah. He has given us his name.
Hallelujah.
In his name we rule and reign. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
In his name we have dominion.
In his name we have dominion.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Now we can do the works of Jesus.
We can do the works of Jesus. Hallelujah.
So we give praise to God the man.
So we give praise to God the man who died for man.
We did that song much more during this meeting. God in man. That is the news. That is the gospel. The gospel is not that we are running to one mountain again. The gospel is not that we are looking for oil. And we say, oh, when I put oil, something will happen. No. When I lay my hands on the sick, something will happen. Where I am is where he is. That's what he said. That's what he said. That's what he said. And I trust in what he said. You know, I believe in God's word. Where I am is where he is. There's no distance between us. There's no distance. Jesus, thank you. There's no distance. There's no distance. You are not far away. You are not far away. You are not far away. Thank you, Jesus. Can we speak in other tongues this evening? He is with us. Because we are where he is. We are where he is. I am in you. Amen. So when he says I am in you, listen very well. If he's in us and he's alive, what that means is that what Jesus does, we can now do. Because we are in the same place. So he's here now. He's here now. Do you believe that at all? So if he heals the sick, that means the healing of the sick can happen here and now. Here and now. If he gives comfort to the brokenhearted, that can happen here and now. If he gives clarity, that can happen here and now. If he does signs and wonders, that means that can happen here and now. Isn't it?